7:51. Okay. Well, we're going to tomorrow. We're going for a seminar, and the subject of the seminar is a prepared heart. And my topic that I'm going to share is what I'm going to share with you tonight. So, you're my test touch group here. So, my topic is responding to the prepared heart. And a prepared heart is one that is fully ready and equipped to be used. Like when you prepare a meal, what do? You get everything ready, you got all the food ready. Thanksgiving, maybe you prepare a little earlier, some of it, so you don't have to do it all at one time. But after you prepared it, what do? You bring people in and you indulge in it. And but if you just prepared and you did nothing about it, you'd probably have ants all over and your place would be kind of a mess. But God has prepared our hearts to be so sufficient in Him that our reaction is, what am I going to do with it, right? So He's given us everything. So what we're going to look at is some of the benefits and how much love and grace God has given to each one of us. And this is, I'm going to come right after Bob, so I wanted to review a little bit of what he shared. And we remember in his teaching that Sunday, that he said God has enlightened the eyes of our understanding, and that eyes is literally our heart, which is our the depth of our personal life. God has enlightened our heart to know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Not only do we have hope, which is knowing what's going on in the future, something to anticipate, but His calling. God has called us. Everybody wants a phone call. God has called us, and He has, because He has a purpose for each one of us. And what is our inheritance in the saints? Each one of us have an inheritance. And we inherit the Christ in us, the power. We inherit the ability to be children of God. So that's Ephesians 1:18, and I want to, my next section is Ephesians 1:19, which is, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward usward who believe? What is that power? So here we have, we've got a calling, we have hope, we have an inheritance. So what are we going to do with that? What is the greatness of that power working in us? And that's what a lot of people miss today, because fear takes away from power, from the power that God wants. Fear always tries to destroy the things that God wants for our lives. So we have a calling and are fully prepared to carry out with the power of God and Christ in us. Think about that. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in each one of us. And it says it will restore our mortal bodies. So those are our physical bodies. Mortal means you're still alive. So that, it's just amazing. And we'll see in the book of Acts how that all is coming together. But our hearts should be utterly overflowing with the reality of who we are in Christ. We are sons of God with power. We're not sons of, just sons of God. If we are sons of God, that's pretty tremendous. But there's a power behind it. We have the right, His righteousness. God looks at us and sees that we are righteous today. Not tomorrow because we've earned it, but because we are His children. And we are complete in Christ. There's nothing lacking in our lives. And our hearts should be full, so full, because God doesn't make any mistakes. We do, but He, everything that He says in His Word has to come to pass. It cannot not. You know, we should be so excited to this incredible reality that we want to hear more, right? Mm-hmm. When I was 19 years old, I asked my father, how do you know that you're doing God's will? And he said, you find out when you die. And everyone wants to know that they are doing what's right, right? If you really want a purpose in your life and want to see yourself living for God, sometimes we think we're living for God, we're instruments of God, but God is living inside of us. So we want to be on his side, and we want to have his full benefit. And it's not like he's running away from us if we're skirting the subject, but he's right there with us, waiting for us to listen to him and to enjoy that purpose. But without a knowledge of the truth, people lack drive, they lack purpose and peace. I used to have a motto when I was in high school, don't worry, be happy, because I would worry for them. And that song, Lead Me to Some Soul Today, Teach Me, Lord, What to Say. My friends were all leaving the church. They thought, you know, this isn't making any sense. But I knew there had to be something that I could do for God. So I would pray for them. But I was a worrywart. I worried about everything. Because I didn't truly know who God was. I didn't know that he was a loving father. I had a wonderful, loving, earthly father. And he would do anything for me. But I thought God was more of a judgmental God who just waited to see that when you screwed up, that you made sure that you didn't do it again. Well, most people do it again. In fact, we used to go to the confessional and confess our sins, and I always had the same thing all the time. But they had a little red book that you could pick out a new sin. So every once in a while, I could pick out a new one. But God is so good. He just works with us and takes care of us. One of the other things Bob shared about was the spectacular calling we have in Christ that fulfills all of his purposes, God's purposes. And that's in 2 Timothy 1:9, if you want to look at that. This is tremendous. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus yesterday, the day before, before the world began. God gave us our purpose, our calling. We were saved. His plan was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You can't get any better than that. Before he said, let there be light, he knew us and he knew our calling. We were called to be sons of God with power. God has so lovingly provided for us a purpose in life. He's given us a heart filled with his love and goodness. Now is our opportunity to respond to him. Remember who you are. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, if you'd like to turn to that, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to bring back that which was lost. We are no longer an old person that's insufficient, that we can't just get things right. We're a new creation in Christ, with Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the Father dwelling in us. He's made his abode in us. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And he's given us the privilege of the ministry of reconciliation. We each have a ministry. And one of the functions of our ministries is reconciling people back to God. Now the question is, how and what do I respond? How do I respond properly? And we're going to turn to Acts 1:8 if you want to start there. I'll give you a chance to catch up. Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven are found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is such an amazing Amazing verse. But it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We are to be witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the witness to his Father. He came to share the relationship of God Almighty being our Father, that he was the beloved Son, and now we represent him to the world. Think about all that he accomplished in his short ministry, and yet we have many, many years to do this work, but sometimes we have to be reminded of our responsibilities and the joy of carrying that out, because the world wants to keep you distracted. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to, again, turn our eyes towards the Word of God. Because it says that the Scriptures provide for all that we need to know about life and godliness. We don't need to be ignorant anymore. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus' disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This equipped them to carry out their commission as the witnesses of Jesus. On that day, not only did the 12 apostles receive, but 3,000 souls were won to the Lord. They heard the testimony of Peter, and they received and believed. You know, Peter had this amazing testimony. Do you think he rehearsed it ahead of time? No, it was the Spirit of God that was working with him. That was the start of the first of the Christian church, the body of Christ, of which we are all members. Our responsibilities as witnesses are to make the gospel heard. What are the first two letters of the word gospel?
Go.
Go. Bravo. Go. We are to go to the uttermost part of the earth. We have to get out. We've got to get involved. We go back to 2 Corinthians. I'll just read it because you're probably past that. But we'll go back to 5:18 again. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, in each one of us, God was and is reconciling the world to himself. See, he's working it too, but we are his hands and feet. So that's very important. So that's why when we sing, Lead Me to Some Soul Today, Lord, tell me what to say, he's going to lead us to that. We're never alone in this ministry, but we're fully prepared to carry out what our responsibilities are. He's entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. In verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God makes his appeal through us. We implore you in behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We have that wonderful privilege. If we were the ambassador for a country, we would tell them, the ambassador would have the ability to tell them what the United States is doing and wants them to do. We are Christ's disciples, ambassadors for him. We need to go. We depend on the Father to lead us to a hungry soul. And that's a wonderful thing, because we have to remember we're never alone. It's the Father's business, just like it's the Father's battle when we fight. It's he always brings the victory, and we have to stand with that confidence. As mature believers, we have so much to share of how good God our Father is. He's so good that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the what?
Power
that worketh in us. We have to remember, we have power. We're super conquerors, more than conquerors in every situation. We're sons of God. Never let those thoughts, those realities leave you. We all have personal testimonies of how God led someone to us to share the gospel of truth. I asked him when I knew that I wasn't going to wait to die and find out if I was doing God's will. I asked him, and when I was living in Germany, I was there for 6 months, I asked him, show me the truth. And at that time, he orchestrated that a friend of mine was in Northern California. He got witnessed to. He took Power for Abundant Living, took a Bible class, and by the time he came back to San Diego for the summer, he had written me a letter saying, I found what you're looking for. And at 6 months, we were in total different areas, but he got born again, I got born again. How God, if you go back and think about what did God do to get the gospel to you, you're seeing miracles. And that's what we need to remind ourselves, and remind ourselves that also that there's someone that God is orchestrating that for you to make an impact on someone else's life. Yeah. Ultimately, a prepared heart is to respond to God's will and fulfill His promises. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I've mentioned this a little bit in the fellowship, it talks about our logical or reasonable service. I have been an accountant my whole life, and everything I look at is logical. So I appreciated this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might ask, what assignments does God have for me? Most of us have been believers a lot longer than we were unbelievers. Mm-hmm. We have read God's word. We have seen signs, miracles, wonders. We love to fellowship with like-minded believers. You know, like-minded believers is about being like-minded on who we are in Christ. It's not like you're Dr. Ann or you know, I like this and that. It's who we are in Christ. And that's the important thing about all that we do. Who has God planned us to do and work for? So what do we do when we until we wait for the Lord to return? Well, King Agrippa, our testimonies are very important. That's what a witness does. They testify. In Acts 26:18 is the testimony of Paul to King Agrippa when Jesus appeared to him for the purpose. And what purpose was that? We're going to look at that. Acts 26:18. All of us have a testimony that people need to hear. Verse 18, it says, Jesus said, told Paul that he to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Paul was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Kind of sounds like our ministry, right? Mm-hmm. Each one of us have the privilege of holding forth the word of God that it can heal people's hearts to get them to the point that they want the word of God. They want the light. They want the truth. And turn them from the power of Satan to God. That's what this world needs more than anything. And that they may receive forgiveness of sins. We talked about that earlier. You don't remember your sins anymore. That's not going to help you. But who you are in Christ, your inheritance, and your inheritance among those that are sanctified. We have a privilege as well. We are the lights of the world, right? So we have to remember that testimony that we have. And Paul was an apostle. He did not see Jesus when he was on earth, but he met him later. Jesus had to appear to him for him to be an apostle, because he had to be a witness of the resurrection. So he saw them in his resurrected body. You know, when we when someone gets born again, they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. That's where they get saved. So that resurrection is very important in salvation. Today we spiritually see and experience great conflict and evil around us, and yet as believers, God has a different perspective for us that supersedes the chaos by giving us a lively hope and an eternal future. So when we see all the evil going around us, we are protected by the Father. We're no longer citizens of this world, but we are seated in the heavenlies. Now we're not even, this isn't a permanent dwelling for us. We're just temporarily here until Christ comes back. So don't get too comfortable. This gives us the authority to do the works that Jesus Christ did, reconciling man back to God the Father. He is giving us an assignment as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, ambassadors for him. Our response to the prepared heart and the calling of God is dynamically stated in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. It's been said, God's calling card is signs, miracles, and wonders. Let's start handing them out. You see, these scriptures were written thousands of years ago. This still is a blameless, and we should be blameless and harmless. Even the apostles were blameless and harmless. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, it's always been, the devil will be here until he's finally stopped. We are needed in this crazy world because the devil is working overtime to deceive and turn the truth into a lie, like he stated in the garden with Adam and Eve. The serpent wanted to separate Adam and Eve from the truth and from their loving Father. The serpent talked to Eve and convinced her that they should be as God, knowing good and evil. His perspective was to talk them out of all God's blessings by convincing them that God didn't want them to have everything. He was depriving them of their greatness to be their own God. Doesn't that sound familiar today? This same mentality and lies are being promoted today. Young adults are being easily deceived because of the truth is not being taught. The media, AI, World Wide Web promote and distort true reality. Even witnesses can be manipulated in videos to change what is a lie into something that looks genuine and true. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. Our gospel, the gospel that Jesus Christ taught. He taught his disciples to teach what I taught. Teach what the Father has given me. It comes with power and the Holy Spirit and much assurance. We have received so much of the rightly divided word that we cannot afford to sit around. Mm-hmm. We must speak the things which we have heard, seen, and heard. That's pretty easy because we're witnesses. Witnesses have to see something to be able to have a message. So that's what we have. We have seen in our own lives. I was full of fear. The apostles were full of fear before the day of Pentecost. And what changed them? Holy Spirit. Same thing that changed each one of us. So now if fear tries to jump back in, we say no. The word says that we submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's another truth of God's word that we have to apply in our lives. We go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, what's part of the uttermost parts of the earth in San Diego? How about Ralph's? How about Vaughn's? We go where we talk to people where we are. We bless people. We were so blessed to have our grandsons here a couple of weeks ago. They came with us to Agape Now. And they were just very comfortable because they knew that we were there. And we gave them some water bottles, and they were ready to hand them out and were with us when we were praying for people. And one of the boys said, "Grandma, does it make you feel bad if you talk to people and they just walk away, totally ignore you?" And I said, "Not really, because God is bringing the people that need to hear the word. So if we're sowing a little seed of kindness just to bless them, then that's okay. But we are just out when we're going places." Mm-hmm. And that's what's, because we're all going to do great exploits. That's what God's purpose for our lives is. We want to go into the community, serve in the community. Brother Anthony, who is in Lungama, Kenya, who we support his ministry, he is building a well, and his old well dried up, and he had 20 people that he was helping with that well. I think that well was probably there from many, many years, probably when he was growing up. And now they have all the resources for 50 families to take care of the water. And we never think about, do we have enough water? You might think, oh, I'm going to go walk in. I better get a bottle of water. Well, you could walk without the water if you had to. These people live on it. So to think that now they have a pump that they can bring that water, they still have to bring it into their home. But praise God. But see, Anthony didn't ask all these people to put money in. He knew that God would provide, and he's not going to charge for them to use this. That's what the love of God's all about. That's what we want to do. Maybe pay forward to someone, whatever. But John 13:35 in the NLT says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's how simple it is. We know what love's about because we were first loved. Now we can give that same love because we know we are loved. We don't question it or have to get someone to tell us that they love us. Some of the things that will inspire believers to minister and serve as ambassadors for Christ are found in Acts 2, verse 42. And if you want to turn to that, it's very exciting. Acts 2:42. This is after the 3,000 souls were saved. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the scriptures, and fellowship, gathering together, and in breaking of bread. You know, the culture of breaking of bread signified that you were making a commitment. When you eat with someone, you're making a commitment with them to be honorable to them, to protect them, to uphold, bless them. And in that eating, there's usually salt. And salt is the preservative that makes that bond. That's why we enjoy having dinners together. It's just a very sweet time together. It's a bond to protect one another. They ate with gladness and singleness of heart. That singleness of heart is undivided loyalty. And in prayers. In their culture prayed multiple times a day. Well, that's how we could do it today, is we put God first. We pray without ceasing. We become dependent on Him. If Jesus said, "I can in mine own self do nothing," then I think we probably can't do anything ourselves either. And it's not hard. In the world, they're thinking you're depending on someone. Yeah, I'm putting my life in the hands of God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth. He knows that He wrote the end of the story, so I'm connected to the right person. Right? We get involved in fellowships, serving, teaching, financial giving, bringing hungry souls. If you don't have a home fellowship, start one. Get involved in the community. Be a faithful witness. Join a prayer team or start one. In all these things, we come together as a community, the way we can give. And of course, our first joy and privilege is to, and commitment is to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We stand fast in the Lord. We have peace. If we don't, we aren't realizing our identity in Christ as the beloved son and daughter of the Father. If we're not, then we're not putting God first. We don't look back. Even if we've had great successes in the past, we look forward to tomorrow, where we can do our best for God. We have the hope burning inside our hearts. There are many there waiting to hear and learn from our examples. In conclusion, in all we do, let's give God the glory and walk in faith, hope, and love. We recognize and act on the profound reality that our prepared heart is ready to receive and respond to God's holy calling and powerful witnesses of Christ. And the last verse I want to share is in Philippians 1:6, and the NLT says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen